Pleased to welcome in Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Matt, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. How you doing?
Good. I appreciate you accepting to come on the show today, and you and I have had some chats and discussions as of late. I guess the first thing, there is a little nervousness around MLS fans with some of these COVID positive tests coming back, FC Dallas, one team. Is everything all systems go still?
Yeah, we're preparing full force, you know, getting ready to finish the week strong and then to head down to Orlando on Sunday. You know, we've been working extremely hard to make sure that, you know, we're following all the protocols that are necessary. You know, and it's really a tribute, I have to say, Glenn, to you know, the constant work of our medical staff, of our performance staff, of our equipment staff, our chief medical officer, our internal COVID-19 task force that we're always, you know, we're having regular meetings. And so it's been a group effort, and I think the players have really appreciated that we've been as careful as possible and doing everything we can to position them to get to Orlando safely to be successful.
Yeah, the players must be chomping at the bit. We're talking to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan to get real competition. You and I have talked, the transfer market, how is that going to change? Or do you have any inkling how that may change in the future for you and how maybe you're going to do your business?
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, obviously in everybody's lives, you know, we've all been affected no matter what your profession and no matter what your industry. And, you know, the world soccer market, world football market is no different. I think everyone's been really kind of waiting and seeing, you know, okay, hey, what's it look like to start getting back to play? You know, obviously you've seen the leagues in Europe that they've restarted playing and to finish their seasons. And really what that's done is it's made it a monumental task for FIFA to reset the windows and readjust the windows. And so I think that, you know, it's going to be a work in progress for all of us. I mean, I'm on the phone all day, every day, you know, to different sporting directors and different agents throughout the world. And, you know, we're all really bouncing ideas off each other because it's something we've all entered into uncharted territory. But I will say, you know, there's going to be opportunities. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, the right timing.
And when will the window open up this summer?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, normally, you know, our window is through the beginning of July into the beginning of August. You've probably seen the announcements that just come out. You know, we've had a readjustment of our own window here in the U.S. where we have a short 2-day window before the tournament. That's really to kind of get in players that were pre-signed to deals or that was really in the works, you know, prior to the pandemic. So there won't be many additions. That's why you've really seen a lot of homegrown signings. Signings from clubs, USL teams, and then also players whose ITCs, which is your international transfer certificate, that's in the United States. You know, Glenn, that's the real challenge with this, is any time a player moves throughout the world, you know, what comes with them is their international transfer certificate. And so we have to move from one country to the next, and also what ties into that is that you have to have a visa and a work permit tied to that, and really due to the pandemic, that's all been on hold completely. So now the window is going to reset after the Orlando tournament, and it's going to run, you know, from August into October. So it's going to be a whole new beast for all of us to work through. But it's going to be a good challenge.
A lot of good things going on. Nico Lemoine, a winger type, been signed. Juan Castilla, the 15-year-old who Tab Ramos and I've spoken to you about him as well. You both are so high on this young man, Marcelo Palomino. This looks like a real push towards the youth side of things. You've had some real successes with the academy now. Is this going to be kind of the blueprint of the Dynamo in the future? And how are you going to blend that with signings? And what type of signings will help to enhance the youth?
Yeah, look, I think that it's a critical part of what we're building. And I've said that, you know, on multiple occasions. And that really ties into the hiring of Tab Ramos. I mean, there's not, that's not anybody in the country who has more experience of working in that space than Tab over the last decade and being successful. And really, you know, that, you know, him coming on board and the pleasure of having him here tied into the restructure of our academy, and also, you know, how we've really focused on building, you know, 5 and will be 6 this fall centers of excellence throughout town. You know, a big part of what we want to do is get more players coming from Houston. I mean, Houston's a great soccer market. It's a rich soccer market. And, you know, and I think, you know, as leaders in the market, we have a responsibility to work, you know, and to be leaders, but also to listen. And, you know, and I have to give a lot of credit to Paul. You know, he's really come in with our Soccer Starts at Home program and restructuring our academy and, you know, and just the young players that are coming up the pipeline now with the 17th headlined by Juan Castilla and Danny Rios and Logan Ebb, and obviously the signing of Marcelo. And so that's a big part of our plan. And we want to see more kids from Houston. We want to see more kids from H-Town, you know, coming, walking out that tunnel, because there's just a certain level of pride that I think we all feel when that happens, you know, and when Memo scores, I mean, I feel a little extra happy, you know, and I want to have that feeling more and more.
Yeah, it's exciting, and we've got tremendous history. I mean, you think of all the players that went into Major League Soccer from here: Josh Gardner, Sam Forco, Chris Bondi, the Baba brothers, Imad, Johnny Torres. I mean, we can go on and on with the amount of players that have played in Major League Soccer. So this is music to my ears, but it's music to a lot of people's ears, that we're gaining some traction here in youth development and seeing these players sign, and then obviously Tab being in there. All right, so here's the one that fans really are on right now. They want to ask you, number one, why did you pass on Jürgen Damm, went to Atlanta?
We've been tracking Jürgen Damm for a while, and seriously looked at his situation, and you know, really, we, you know, when we went through it as a technical staff, myself, Tab, the coaching staff, you know, we just felt it wasn't the right fit. You know, we just felt it wasn't the right fit, and you know, Jürgen is a good player. You know, you're going to see in Atlanta, you know, he's going to play as a wing back. And really, anytime you're looking to add a player, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not like you just, you know, basically decide, okay, hey, you know, let's just add this player tomorrow, right? I mean, you know, you're going through positional profiles. You're going through KPIs, you know, with your scouting department. You're going through, you know, watching the player live and making sure he's a good fit. And Jürgen's a good player. He's a good person. I've met with him in person. And, you know, we just made the decision that it wasn't the best fit for us at this time. And that was a collective decision, not just me, you know, but, you know, as a group. And you know, definitely wish him well. But we seriously looked at him. And I hope that can give you maybe a little bit of a background on that situation.
No, that's a great platform for you to describe to people that, you're right. Just because he's available doesn't mean he fits your plan. So that's a great way to answer that question. The other thing that's confusing, and it is sometimes even confusing to me, and I've been around this league since the beginning, the discovery rights process for the average fan is hard to understand. So the Dynamo had the right, they were in line first for Jürgen Damm. They could sign him. Or his rights now are negotiable. The rights get sold to Atlanta. They sign him for $50,000. How do you get to that fee? And is it simply just negotiation, $50,000, to give them the right to sign him? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Glenn. Well, really, the discovery process works as follows. All MLS teams have a discovery list, you know, and it's changed over the years. You know, at the moment, it's 7 players. Okay, so what you can do is, you know, through your scouting and your player recruitment department, you know, you add a player that you're tracking. I mean, usually you track a player for a number of months, right? Or sometimes even for a year. You know, I remember when we brought, you know, Albert Elise and several other players. You know, I mean, we had them on our discovery, you know, list for over 12 months. So you have, you know, you have a player that you've identified that you've been scouting and recruiting on your list. And that what that means, your list of seven, that gives you the first priority to go and to negotiate to sign that player. So as we were seriously looking at Dom, we were number one in discovery ranking, and then we were basically in the process of deciding, okay, hey, you know, is this going to make sense or not? And it's not like you're only looking at that player, right? You're looking at several players in that position. And at that time, Atlanta also had some interest in him, and so they also put a discovery, because you can put multiple discoveries on the same player. So three teams could put a discovery on the same player. But the one that does it first, which in this scenario, we were first behind, you know, for Jurgen, and Atlanta was second. Then there's what you call, and I hate to get in the weeds too much for the listeners, but you go through what you call the, if they want to try to, I guess, you know, force the issue, there's a, what you call a discovery resolution conflict, process, okay? And so then what they do is they post $50,000 of allocation money that then gives them the opportunity to go try to negotiate with the player. We as the number one team can decide, okay, hey, we will accept that or we won't. And so that's really how that works. And I'll give you an example. Like, you know, Kiki Struna, we were number two in the discovery resolution process, in the discovery process with him with NYCFC. And so it was almost like an exact opposite of what we just went through with Atlanta. So we posted the 50K. We liked Kiki. You know, we went to travel to Palermo to meet with him, you know, to watch him live. And then, you know, we had the opportunity to basically move them out of the way by posting that 50K when we came to an agreement with him.
Got it. Matt, this is great stuff here. We're talking to Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager. I know you have a great offer on the table to Albert Elise. Some reports it's the biggest contract in club history. When do you want, expect, or hope to kind of get an answer from Albert so, you know, you and Tab can realize how to move forward, you know, with the roster?
Yeah, we're in regular communication with Albert and his representatives, and obviously you alluded to a very substantial offer that was presented, and right now we're working through it, Brian. I mean, I think that's probably the best way for me to describe it. It's not resolved one way or the other yet. But we've had healthy discussions with Albert and very open discussions as well. We'd like to have him here. We've made a big effort. Our ownership group's made a big effort. But he's also a player that, you know, there is demand for him in the world. But then the other thing he has to think about, you know, at this time, him as representative is like, how's the market look different in the world right now? Post, as we're dealing with the pandemic, right? So that, yeah. A lot of that has an effect on how you view all this as well. So I guess probably the best way for me to describe it is we're working through the process.
Well, Matt, listen, we're up on a hard break. Thank you very much for answering some great questions here tonight. I think it provides some clarity for Dynamo fans. Hoping everything goes smoothly for the team to get down to Orlando. And as always, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Glenn, as always, thank you so much. And genuinely appreciate everything you're doing for soccer in the city. Thank you.
Hey, Matt, by the way, are you going to Orlando as well, or do you stay here? How does that
happen? Yeah. No. I'll be there the whole time.
I kind of figured you would be, but it was a loaded question, I guess.
I'm not going to miss out on that. So I definitely want to be with the team and the guys. And I got to tell you, I'm just so happy to see these guys out in the field with smiles on their faces. I mean, it's been a tough few months. It really has. And we're all in this together. You know, we're all, you know, you and I were talking about this the other day. We're all in this together. And I, you know, I've met with every staff member. We even had a big team and all staff meeting the other day. And we just, you know, we got weathered the storm, you know, and that's what we're doing. And we're going to get through it.
Good work, Matt. Good inspirational final comment there. We're going to take a break. Thank you again, as always. Best of luck down in Orlando. We'll talk to you soon. That's Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. We'll take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN.